Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. I've been talking to Anna DeVlantis on Fridays about how adoptions are up. And when the pandemic first began, they went through the roof, emptying shelters in Chicago and all over the country. What percent do you think adoptions went up nationwide? And which states did the best at adopting animals? And where did Illinois fall in all of that? We'll talk about that. And also, we will visit Pilsen, that neighborhood in Chicago, with a lot. You know, I mean, sometimes we just hear the bad news, right? So they have so many fun little shops, and one of those fun little shops happens to be a pet store, which we will check out. Sandy Delisle is an animal welfare professional, a pet writer, and also now a movie producer who's gone Hollywood. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Steve.
So tell me about this movie you're making.
Yes, I'd love to. So the movie is called You're Out, and it's about two fathers who take their 17-year-old sons on a cross-country road trip to get their boys recruited by a Division I baseball team. But in the process, they find a loose dog, and they end up adopting the dog. So I think what I really want to tell you about with this movie is that, like most movies, the point of it is to entertain, but I have another goal with this film, and that's to portray dogs labeled as pit bulls as having the potential to be good human companions, just like any other type of dog.
You know, this comes out of left field here, but I kind of wonder, I mean, when you rescue a dog, sometimes that dog rescues us too. Is that part of the story?
100%. I love that you said that because absolutely. In fact, the main character who ends up taking in this dog, whose name is Bobby, by the way, He doesn't even like dogs. And it's this dog who provides him salvation, I guess you could say, because she empowers him to actually fly on an airplane because he's petrified of flying. But having her by his side, he's able to do it. So 100%, you nailed it.
So talk to me about this. The American Kennel Club recently came out with their list of the most popular purebred dogs, Labrador Retrievers, now for 30 years at the top of the list. But if we were to do a real census of dogs in America, it's very, very likely that today the most popular breed would be a dog you'd look at and you'd say, that dog is a pit bull. And in fact, it's not a breed. Most pit bull dogs, or dogs we call pit bulls, are in truth mixed breed dogs. But nevertheless, they have a certain look about them, and we call them that. They're incredibly popular. For people that have one, you know the truth. But are there still too many, so many misconceptions? And is that one reason why you're making the movie?
Again, you nailed it. Absolutely. So yes, although they are prevalent across the country, there still are those stereotypes that people have against them. And I believe that one of your guests recently was Weedy Van Cavage, who speaks to breed-specific legislation. So yes, that stigma still is attached to dogs perceived to be pit bulls. So that is 100% one of the reasons why we want to make sure that we're portraying them just like any other dog in this film. And, you know, Steve, some research came out, I think it was back in 2014, around how whatever dog breed is portrayed in a movie or TV, then you can see up to 10 years later that that breed is still popular or more popular than it would have been if they hadn't been portrayed in that media. So it's my hope with this film that we will at least help to destigmatize dogs perceived to be pit bulls, but also ideally get people to start adopting them because so many of, as you say, these mixed breed types of dogs are in animal shelters right now, And they do make great family pets.
Well, of course, you know, you and I know that's the case. And there's lots of data, by the way, to indicate that is the case. And what you say about movies and TV shows, And for that matter, print ads and magazines is so incredibly true. We can go back to Rin Tin Tin if we want, or Lassie, or more recently, Eddie, the Jack Russell Terrier on Frasier. Then Jack Russell Terriers became really, really popular. So is that kind of your hope that happens here?
Absolutely it is, yes. And so many dogs could benefit from that if people would just open their hearts and minds to them as their new best friend.
Sandy Delisle, I will make you a deal. We will keep track. So we've talked to you now as the movie is concept. It's about to be made. And maybe we'll talk to you as it's being filmed. And then we'll talk to you again when the movie is psh. That's the sound of a movie being launched. And when the movie is launched. Sound good?
That sounds perfect. And don't forget, we want you to have a cameo in the film, too. So there's that.
I'm already looking in the mirror and putting on my makeup. I am set for it. Thank you, Sandy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
Nothing like going to the movies or going to a shelter to adopt a dog or a cat. Adoptions, when the pandemic first began, here's what happened. Shelters, not only in Chicago, but all over the country said, help! And they really were concerned because they didn't know that their employees or volunteers would be able to ever come in to take the dogs out, to scoop the litter boxes for cats, to care for the, even to feed the animals. And they were terrified. Well, as it turned out, it wasn't that bad. Eventually, employees were able to come back in. And for a short time, a small number of employees could come in. But even then, no one knew exactly what was going to happen. So the shelters all over the country asked the public for help. And boy, did people respond. Adoptions were crazy, up 34% for dog adoptions anyway. So what I'm about to tell you about is just for dogs. What state do you think, and actually it's not a real state, so I'm giving you a hint, came in first as the most puppy-loving, adopting more percentage-wise to their population more than anywhere else in the country was the District of Columbia, followed by New Hampshire. Illinois, by the way, was number 17 on the list. At the bottom of the list, Mississippi. What the heck is wrong with those folks over there? They did not adopt many dogs in Mississippi compared to other states. And when they adopted those dogs, what do you think the most popular pandemic pet names were? Well, number one on the list, Max. Not a big surprise. That's the most popular dog name anyway. Number two, Bella. Again, a very popular dog name anyway. But number three, Buddy, followed by Sadie. I don't know why those names in particular trended. And also, a name that appears on the list, though not in the top five, at about number 10 or 11 on that list, is Fauci. I don't know. Can you imagine? Like 10 years ago, of course, no one would have named their dog Fauci because no one knew of Dr. Fauci, or most people didn't. But can you imagine? Come, Fauci, come here. Fauci, Fauci. Good, Fauci. Good job, Fauci. It's called the Posha Shop, and it is a pet store, but I can guarantee you, or your money back, a very unique one located in Pilsen. And Cynthia Soto, you have quite the story to tell about how you turn things around, not only in your life, but you have a successful business up and running during the pandemic in Pilsen. This is all good news. The press has been covering it like crazy. That's where I'll start. Are you surprised at the amount of press coverage you've gotten for opening up a pet shop?
I am surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised that people have taken so much interest in my pet shop, and I am beyond grateful.
You know, part of it has to do, I think, with the human-animal bond, you know, what it is now, because you sell some things that you really, no offense, Cynthia, please, that you don't absolutely need for your dog. We're not talking about food or water here. We're talking about a lot of things, including outfits for dogs. Some you have not seen before, friends. They are, some of them, Mexican-themed. Others are Chicago sports team-themed. Are you surprised that it's caught on like it has? In fact, I believe you first started on Instagram, and you did so well on Instagram, and you'll tell the story in a moment, that you almost were forced to open up a brick-and-mortar store.
Yeah, definitely. So I drew create designs. Like, I make those designs based off of my childhood, my experiences growing up in Chicago, being Mexican also. So I wanted to incorporate that to make it feel a little bit more personalized for people. And it's been completely well received. They love it. And, yeah, I opened, I started on Instagram just with, like, friends and family and some coworkers. And everybody has loved it, honestly. And slowly but surely, my little setup started growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was able to open a storefront.
Well, you told me that there you are on Instagram. You're doing well, so well that you felt, okay, I'm going to do better. So you put up these tables in front of your house, I think, literally. And then you didn't have enough tables even.
Yeah, I started off with like a little table and just hanging stuff off of the fence at my house. And literally like that. And then it grew a little bigger. And then I had to get a bigger table. And then I had to get a rack. And then I had to get a 10x10 tent. And it just grew ginormously. And then I had to carry extra stuff in my car and be like, oh, I have more over here. And it was just tremendous.
Yeah, the law enforcement taking your stuff out of your car probably thought, oh, what is she doing? I mean, are we dealing with illicit? Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just clothes. I had a few police officers buy doggy clothes from me. They absolutely loved it.
I love that. So the police came and invested. What is she selling out of her car? And then they see dog clothes and they buy the dog clothes.
Yes.
So how is your stuff different than everything else that's out there? Because you go to pet superstores, you can find these things, but not what you sell.
Not what I sell. So I use a lot of Mexican textiles. We use gambaya, we use sarape, I printed loteria onto a textile, and now we have loteria textiles.
What is that?
What
is that?
Loteria is like Mexican bingo, if you want to say that. So it's we play this growing up in like family parties, birthdays, Christmases. It's just you play this all the time throughout your childhood and your adult life, and it's just a big part of our culture. It's something that you get to play in a big family. So it's like a group thing, and I definitely wanted to include that in the doggy clothes because they're part of our family too. I'm like, let's play loteria with them also.
Well, you know, and when you think, I mean, you've got the Mexican soccer jersey, except it's for dogs, for example. But you also have the Chicago Bulls, Chicago Blackhawks, the Chicago Cubs, and the White Sox. But in addition to that, you lean back on Mexican tradition. You lean back on your own roots. In fact, the name of your store is all about that.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, so our name is Pocha Shop, and Pocha is basically a derogatory word that Mexicans use to describe other Mexicans that aren't Mexican enough, quote-unquote. And me being the first generation born and raised here, I definitely was called that a lot by even family members and friends and just people like that. And I never really understood. And I was like, why am I not Mexican enough? And then I believed it for years. And then I became an adult. And I understood, like, no, I am Mexican enough, but I'm also from Chicago. I'm both of them. So I definitely wanted to take that word back and make it something good, not something bad for people. Because I know I'm not the only one, and I wanted to represent that for others also.
Mm-hmm. So you were doing something completely different when the pandemic hit, correct?
Yes, correct.
You were?
I was in early childhood education.
So how does one jump from, so that job ended for obvious reasons. You and thousands and thousands, unfortunately, of other people across the country lost their jobs, right? Mm-hmm. And then what made you say, I want to do clothes for dogs of all things? Why that?
So I've always had a love for animals ever since I was a little child. And I'm very creative. So this line of work is also very creative. And I have a best friend that lives in Mexico. I met her there when I lived there 2 years back. And she opened her store over there, and I wanted to work with her because the pandemic hit her very hard also. She was stuck. She wasn't selling. She couldn't open her store anymore because of quarantine. And I kind of wanted to help her out. So I invested a little bit of savings into her, and we just started working together. And what better thing to do than to work with your best friend and to work with something that means so much to both of us, because she loves what she does also very, very much. And that's how we started. And now I love working with her because we get to talk more now.
And so when you walk into your little shop, you mm-hmm. see clothes over there, then clothes for dogs. You heard me right, friends, over there. And by the way, at least according to your Instagram account, sometimes cats and rabbits and other animals wear this stuff too. And you even have a changing table for the animals, yes. Right?
I do.
I mean, it's the coolest thing because what your shop is all about is demonstrating what the human-animal bond is all about. So I want to ask you two questions, both on the other ends of the spectrum here. One is, honestly, do some people think you're crazy?
Probably, but they haven't said it to my face.
So you've not gotten any negative backlash, like people walking down the street, like some old lady walking in saying, "What are you doing? There's clothes for dogs." Nothing like that.
Nothing like that, but I do have to say an older woman did step by in on Tuesday, and she gave me a blessing. She said everything was beautiful, that I'm going to do very, very well. This woman just walked on in from the street, took a look, and gave me a beautiful blessing, was the sweetest woman in the world. And
that is so nice. Well, is that part of the Pilsen culture also where you're at?
I think so. It's very big on community, very big on helping each other. Yeah, I think that has to do a lot with it, too.
Yeah, from my limited experience in Pilsen, that would be true as well. Are you surprised that people are buying clothes for dogs, even as we go into summer when they don't need those clothes to stay warm?
Well, they need them to be fashionable.
Of course, yes. How wrong can I be? So where is your store at?
So we are located at 1956 West Cermak Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60608. We are pet friendly, so obviously bring your dogs in. If you have a cat, bring them in. If you're scared of other dogs walking in while they're in here, I will lock the door and have people wait outside because I want to make sure everybody is comfortable.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on all the publicity and all your success. It's not only because of the publicity, it's because you have great stuff and it's different and it's fun. Thank you very much, Cynthia.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Adios. Here's a real word of warning, and this is crazy, it's terrible. The number of stolen dogs is on the rise. Some reports suggest that number of puppies going missing has increased by 70% over the past year. And these dogs aren't only taken out of backyards with people not supervising, though that happens still and happens all the time. Sometimes it's people, and I've talked to John Williams about this, targeting specific breeds. So they'll see you have a bulldog or a French bulldog or something deemed valuable, a breed deemed valuable. Lady Gaga found out the hard way. They weren't, as it turns out, after Lady Gaga's dogs because they were Lady Gaga's dogs. And she could provide a big money reward, which she did. They went after the dogs because they were French bulldogs. It's crazy. And these people then, what do they do with the dogs? So I posted this on my website and posted a report, that a really good report that was done by Inside Edition. Yes, they did do some really good journalism about this. And I posted that. My website is stevedale.tv if you want to see it. Now, I've always talked about not leaving dogs out in backyards unsupervised, for many reasons, but one of those reasons, the dogs can be stolen. Historically, they were small dogs that were easy to swipe. Just pick up the dog and run the other way. If you can catch the dog, a little barking chihuahua, maybe not so easy. I don't know. But that's what, and they would use these dogs as bait for dog fighters. That's horrific. That still does happen. But now, these dogs are being stolen and sometimes at gunpoint. Not necessarily dogs in backyards, at gunpoint, like what happened with Lady Gaga's dog. That is not isolated, unfortunately. So I don't know what to say. Be careful out there. You know, there's no, now the good news is, to my knowledge, this is not happening in Chicago, but dogs have been taken in Chicago too. So it's everywhere, friends. Just be careful. Don't know what to say. I mean, our country has come to this. So people can resell dogs. It's absolutely horrific. It's awful. Next week on the show, Dr. Natalie Marks, a frequent guest of this program, will be here talking about why what we call pairing up for protection is so incredibly important. So not only is that vaccine for kennel cough that your dog has always gotten and your dogs historically have always gotten really important, but so is the dog flu vaccine at the same time. We'll also talk about leptospirosis, which I know is one of her favorite topics. That's next week, bright and early, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN.